Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. On the call for the registration abuse policies work group, we have James Bladel, Greg Aaron, Mikey O'Connor, Martin Sutton, Faisal Shah, Barry Cobb, Fred Feldman, Michael Young, and for staff, we have Margie Marlam, Marika Cornick, and Glenda Saint-Gervais. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Glenn. I don't recall seeing any regrets, but we'll see if anyone else can join us today.
No, and no regrets were received, Greg.
Okay, thanks. All right, well, this meeting is planned to extend as long as is necessary to walk through the last recommendations. And then Marika will be setting up a second online poll. And we hope to kick that off on Tuesday. And that poll will be the official mechanism for measuring the consensus levels on the various recommendations. So we'll have that open hopefully Tuesday, extending through the end of the week. So all the members can log in and you can consider those at your leisure. Then we'll have a meeting next week. We'll run through the results and discuss any last things that need to be discussed. And then we will have our final paper. We'll post a final version. It'll be up for a couple of days so everybody can take a look at it. And then we plan on submitting it a week from Friday, which is our deadline to get things in for the ICANN Nairobi meeting. So we'll see how long this takes. We'll try to keep it brisk, but also accurate. And we'll take some breaks. James, you have a question?
Yeah, a quick question, Greg, and maybe I just misheard, but did you say we'll be submitting our final paper at Nairobi or an interim paper? I know we're kind of tracking the PDP timeline, but this isn't a PDP, so I just wanted, for my own clarification, will this be an interim paper, and then we'll receive comments, and then we'll revise it for a final, or we're just skipping that middle step?
This is the initial report.
Okay.
Council looks at it. We do have a public comment period, and then we'll examine those public comments for consideration in a final paper.
Okay, thank you.
So the goal, by the way, is to get the public comment done. We'll have to discuss exactly how long we want to hold that public comment period open for. We discussed having it be a little longer than usual. The goal, though, is to get that final paper done in April, May, and then final report goes to the council in preparation for the next ICANN meeting, which would be in Brussels. So then you can see the in the agenda for today's call. You can, by the way, you can see that complete schedule through June. Okay. Just let's go ahead with a little bit of housekeeping and then dive into the last recommendations. Marika had sent out a cleaned-up version on the 27th, I believe, and then we had a couple of comments, some from Barry, some from Rod. Barry, we haven't really had a chance to look at yours because they came in very close to the deadline at the end of the week. Were there any that you felt were really substantial and we need to pay particular attention to?
Yeah, there are several. This is Barry. Thank you. There are a few of them that are very big changes. I was going to really kind of save this when we got to the recommendation for uniformity, but if you want, we can talk about it now. But definitely there are three or four major
kind of changes, such as where some of the data is located in the appendices versus in the background information, and some other big ones that, anyway, it just made it difficult to make those changes with the markups because there's big chunks being moved around. So I wanted to kind of go over line item by line item and obtain agreement about these changes so that we can make them in the background without really messing up the write-up or the markup.
Okay. Well, are there any changes to the recommendations? Let's begin with that.
No changes to the recommendation. It's all focused around the background material.
Was it mainly moving things from the annex or the appendix into the main body?
Okay, the first one is, yes, the appendice. The information in there should, in my opinion, belong in the background information, primarily for the fact that all the other sections don't have appendices, and there's pages upon pages of background information for each section. So to maintain uniformity for uniformity of contracts, I would recommend that we move that into the background. Doing such would allow us to sunset or delete that one big table that was a summary table, and readers can go into the more detailed information instead of that table. Third change is there's some screenshots at the high level of what the matrix looks like. One of those screenshots is missing, so we need to put that in there, back in there as well. And then I've got four or five small comments about some of the background information that was added. And I think we need to either find a separate section for it, and some of it I would suggest that we reword some of the additions because they seem to kind of minimize the recommendation.
So. Is that have you already proposed that rewording?
I did in the line items or in the markup that I had sent outside of the document, but those line numbers had changed, and so I was starting to readjust those line numbers, but the bigger formatting changes to the document would have changed all those line numbers anyway, so I submitted the bigger changes to Marika, but we both agreed that we needed to have your guys' agreement before we made those changes. So, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. I always found the summary table to be useful. It might be useful for readers from outside the group who don't have quite as much background. Is there any reason why we shouldn't really include it? It could then go on. I mean, the paper can then go on to include details.
We can. It's just kind of regurgitating what they're about to read on the next page. And that's only if we agree to move the appendices information into the background. If we don't like that, then we should keep the summary table. And if so, then I would probably want to reword one or two of the far right column wording just to help bring clarity.
Okay.
And I guess I'd like to point out, because, see, the problem with the summary table is the uniformity of contracts group, we really only conducted research on a certain portion of it. There are other portions of that research that were pretty much kind of reused from the issues report for those areas. So I didn't want to bring out repeated information that was already in the issues report performed by staff. So that's why there was just kind of the summary information.
Okay. I don't want to take too much time to go over the line by line today because we're kind of out of time for that. But what I would suggest is why don't Marika and I look over your notes. It sounds like, you know, it's mainly an issue of bringing material from the annex into the main body, which, you know, it's fine by me. And we'll go over your notes that you provided on Friday night. Does that sound okay?
Yes, that's fine. Certainly, again, a couple of the comments, and I think that was you that added them in there, Greg, into the background section. You know, I think it does warrant discussion amongst the team.
Okay, let's do that on list. But let's try to work on the recommendations today. Okay, so that's all duly noted, Barry. Rod Rasmussen has joined the conference line. Rod, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we got some edits from you near the weekend. Although I had a little bit of trouble searching them out amongst the many markups in that particular draft. Were your notes mainly touch up, or were there any substantial changes we need to discuss?
There was nothing really substantial as far as changing content.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be incorporating your edits then. And then there was a little discussion on the list over the weekend about material predicate. We had promised each other we would review the definition at the end of our work, which is why this came up. What I would propose is a little snippet of text I created just be put into the text somewhere as an explanation to readers about what that means. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of the definition, though. But I think it might be helpful to give an example. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah, this is James. That's fine, Greg.
Okay. Fred, you okay with that?
So you're thinking, like, at the beginning, just underneath it, or where are you thinking?
Somewhere up there, near the definition. I haven't figured out exactly where to put it, but it wouldn't be part of the definition.
Let me think about it a little bit. I want to actually discuss it with Faisal, and he and I will chat on the side really quickly about it.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back to you in a few minutes then. Okay, let's move on to the recommendations. And if memory serves correctly, we got through front running at least. Let's scroll down in the recommendations section. What we basically ended up with on front running was we were not sure the extent to which it was happening, and we thought we should advise the council to keep an eye on it, basically. So that moves us on, I think, to gripe sites. Is that correct? Okay. We have line 30. We have recommendation number one. And we had recommendation UDRP should be revisited to determine what substantive policy changes, if any, would be necessary to address any inconsistencies related to decisions on gripe names and to provide for fast track and substantive and procedural mechanisms in the case of the registration of deceptive domain names that mislead adults or children to objectionable sites. We had three people who agreed with that. We had two who suggested a friendly amendment, and we had two that disagreed. Friendly recommendations were from Mikey. He said, I'd back off on this a bit, incorporate our usual launch of PDP language. And Rod said, if there's substantial interest in the community to do so. So, and he said, I believe this is not likely to be seen as uncovered by the UDRP already. Okay. And then we have an alternate view. I suggest that we strike the recommendation because EDRP addresses it, and making a carve-out is problematic. James said, I don't agree with the recommendations. It's an infringement on free speech and so on. So anyway, looks like what we have here is we have two alternate views at least. We have one recommendation to go for a policy process, and then an alternate view. It looks like the alternate view needs to be drafted. And then that would show up in the poll. James, it looks like you and I are the ones who proposed the alternative, so we just have to put that in some wording for the poll. So it looks like we should take that as an action item. Any other notes on that first recommendation on gripe sites and deceptive names? Mikey?
This is Mikey. Thanks, Greg. I would probably drop my suggestion. I sort of made that suggestion a bunch of times. And on this one, I'm probably going to fall into the same camp that you and James are in. So I think you can remove my friendly amendment from this one.
Okay. Okay, so sounds like we're down to, we've got two different views here. Okay, so we'll just put that alternate view into some wording. That'll go in the poll. Then there's a second recommendation, which is registries. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob.
You're on mute, Rod.
Yeah, I guess that's better.
That's better.
There we go.
Okay, sorry. I'm using Skype here from Japan, so got to open the right window. I was going to just say that I'm kind of in the middle on that now. we should do something for sure, or we should not do something at all. I'm like, no, you know, if people really want to, we could take a look at this, but I don't think there's much value in it. The EDRP pretty much covers this already. So, you know, I don't know which side I could take. We're going to do black and white. So, I just wanted to get that out there. If there's enough interest in anything, I think people can launch a PDP to look at it. I just don't see that there's any there when it comes to this issue. It's already pretty much covered. So, if you want to put me down for whatever camp that makes it sound like, I don't care.
Okay. Well, you take a look at it in the next poll, and if neither view expresses how you feel, then you could also express a third view. You're feeling there. It's already covered by UDRP?
Most likely, but I mean, there's certainly a. You never know until you actually put it in black and white, I guess. But, we're talking about use of brand names in conjunction with a domain name registration. That's pretty, sounds pretty familiar to me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on to the second recommendation, which is that registries should also consider developing internal best practices, practice policies that would restrict the registration of offensive strings in order to mitigate the potential harm to consumers and children, especially minors. And we had some agreement, and then we had, an alternate view.
Hey, Greg, this is James.
One disagree. Yeah. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, think that I may have dropped the ball on this question here. I read it differently in the first pass. And thought it was essentially about registrar sharing, developing and sharing best practices, which currently it's the sharing part that falls short. So you can just strike that friendly amendment or alternate view for the time being, and I'll take another look at this question.
Okay.
Right. Because it looks like a non sequitur, because it is, because I was reading a different meaning into the recommendation the first time around.
Okay. All right, and then I proposed an alternate view. So that would go that alternate would go into the poll as well. Does anybody have any additional comments or notes about the second recommendation?
Hey, this is Faisal. I'm just looking for the alternate view.
Down another page. It's, if you're
page, old, yeah. Top of page 10.
Okay. Not good. So you're not saying that we can actually push for a best practice requirement on behalf of the registry. You're just saying that this is not the best forum for it.
I don't think it's relevant for the GNSO to get into the topic myself. So that's the alternate view.
So your the alternate view would be we should make any recommendations with regard to best practices for deceptive names.
No, I think that issue was settled many years ago in a practical sense. And I don't think ICANN's a good place to make recommendations regarding, you know, moral standards on objectionable names. So it's there in the response. Okay. No other questions. The next one is fake renewal notices. This section had several recommendations, and I think it needs some tighter focus. We have 4, 5, 6 recommendations on this topic. I forget offhand who drafted the recommendations.
This is Mikey.
Okay. Hi, Mikey.
It's me. And if I could wrap a little context around this, I agree. This is way too many. And maybe what we ought to do, when I was writing the little write-up, my thought was that we as a working group would just take a little straw poll and decide where to direct this. And, you know, we could do that right now, actually. I think the fundamental question is whether we want to... When I was writing this, I was sort of summarizing a phone conversation that we had where we talked about all the different possible places we could direct this. And the fundamental question, I think, is whether to do that, in which case, I think... We would just write one recommendation that says we suggest that the following places take up the following topics, or we suggest that it stay in a single PDP in order to keep all those threads together. I think that's the fundamental choice here. And then depending on whether we want to distribute this to relevant working groups or not, and we carry on from there. So I think it collapses to a binary choice, one destination or many. And we could just choose right now on the call and then
okay.
Wrap ourselves.
Let me ask this question. The issue of fake renewal notices Is it related to what's the vector of the problem, so to speak? Who's doing this? We agreed it was we all kind of felt it was abusive. There were a number of problems with the practice, but how is it being delivered? Who's doing it? What is the thing that needs to be addressed most?
This is Mike again. Let me dive in on that. I think the main thing is that underneath all of these notices, somewhere in that pile, there's always a registrar, and there's always abuse of who is in order to get the notices addressed. And so that's why at the end we wound up saying, well, maybe this is just a compliance issue and that we have all the policy we need in order to address this, and that what we ought to recommend is that the compliance team just get a little bit more aggressive on squelching this behavior. And that's why there's that, I think it's the last one. It's 51. Yeah, the last one, 51 on the bottom of that list is the, I think, the outcome of that conversation.
Okay. And number 51 is referred to ICANN contract compliance for possible enforcement action. Okay, so that it was crafted to use existing means to draw more attention to this issue and deal with it through some existing mechanisms. Okay, so there's that one. Now, are there any of the six recommendations that you also feel are really important?
Are you aiming that at me or at the group?
Well, let's begin with you because you've done a lot of thinking on the topic.
Well, my two favorites are 48, which is keep it in a single place, and 51. I don't know what happened to. Oh, I see how the numbering's working. And over time, my preference has started to swing towards 51, the notion of referring this to compliance. I don't think that we really need any new policy here. I think we've got the policy, and we have, in almost every case that we were able to look at, we've got a bad actor who's violating that policy. And so rather than spend more time figuring out what the policy implications are, I think we could, in fact, just move on and say, compliance, you got to take a harder look at this. Because in the case of all the current ones, there's a registrar that is mining who is. They often work through Byzantine complexity in terms of shell companies and so on and so forth, but at the heart of it, there's always a registrar that's mining who is. And maybe what we ought to do is just let the clients go drop the hammer.
Mm-hmm. I have a question there, which is it always a registrar or is it a reseller?
Well, I mean, there's often several layers before you get to the registrar. There was a fantastic picture that I came across later, and I don't think included in the record of this, where I think it was PIR. Somebody was dealing with this, and they drew the flowchart of the organizations that were actually involved. And it was a whole solid page. It literally had something on the order of 50 or 60 different organizations that were passing information and messages back and forth. But at the core of it, there was a registrar.
I guess there has to be a registrar because somebody is accepting those transfers.
Right.
It was funny because I got one of these expiration notices last week in the mail for a domain name. It was from Domain Registry of Canada, which was one of those companies that came up in our discussions. I guess they're a reseller.
Well, yeah, they're a reseller for. There's one registrar, and now I'd have to go back and look at the document, but we call it out in the document. And Domain Registry of America and Domain Registry of Canada use that same registrar.
Okay. All right. So your recommendation is mainly centered around number 6.
Yeah, or 51 on the page. Yeah.
Okay. I saw James's hand go up. And then Barry's after that. So over to you, James.
Actually, I think I lowered it, and then Barry popped up before me. So if he wants to go first, he's welcome to.
No, go ahead, James.
Okay, so I think Greg touched on my concern a little bit with this, is that I grieve it, or I suspect that what Mikey described is precisely the case, but I'm a little concerned that we may be making some assumptions here about things that we just don't know. For example, you know, to say that there's always a registrar involved. Ultimately, yes, there has to be a registrar involved in order for the transfer to take place. But can a bad actor or a fake renewal entity make it appear to that registrar that these are legitimate? And there are other ways to mine who is besides going through the registrar systems. For example, there are third-party tools out there like, I don't want to name them, but I think there's some subscription services that you can use for domain research as well. So I think what I'm getting at is a little more complex than just a compliance issue, and I think that we need to recommend that that this be explored a little more in depth to challenge some of those assumptions and make sure that we've cast a wide enough net that we capture all the paths or vectors that this abuse could occur through. Does that make any sense, Mikey?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because I think and I suspect that the way you've described it is probably the bulk of the occurrences, but I want to make sure that we're examining all the alternative methods, because I think there are some that would not necessarily be caught up by compliance.
This is Mikey again. Let me just jump in. You know, one other advantage of doing that is that we could focus a lot of attention on the issue, do a lot of educating of people about it, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, any time ICANN takes up something in a PDP, that generates a lot of attention on an issue just by itself. And that daylight, that sunlight might be a good thing.
Okay. Barry, why don't you go ahead?
Thanks, Greg. This is Barry. Kind of following up on what James was saying, I'd agree that there's a very high possibility, and that you know, some of these bad actors definitely aren't registrars, and I don't know that compliance would be good enough scope to really try to fix the problem. And even so, I would question whether compliance has full authority to try to track some of these things down. I don't recall seeing in any of the contracts that they aren't allowed to send fake renewal notices and that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure how much compliance is already trying to track this down and by what authority they do. But regardless, and again, just reiterating James's point, there's definitely other bad actors there that are beyond the registrars that we need to somehow try to circumvent the problem. So I would definitely, you know, if we put up two recommendations, one, do a PDP, the second, just do it to compliance, I would be leaning towards the PDP to, you know, to try to get down to the root of this a little better. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is James again. I think Barry said it much better than I did. If we can consider the compliance route to go after the low-hanging fruit, which is the bad acting registrars. But I think we still need some sort of a PDP to take a look at the other other routes that this abuse could take.
Okay.
This is Mikey then. Maybe we just invented a new thing right here, and that is maybe we put both in to the recommendation. One recommendation, just like James just said, which includes compliance for the low-hanging fruit and PDP for the complicated stuff. How about that approach?
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Any other thoughts? The proposal would be for two recommendations, one of which is compliance route, and the second would be for, I guess, formal wording would be to request an issues report, et cetera, et cetera, but basically a policy path.
I guess really a third, based on what Mikey said, is a hybrid approach.
Hey, Greg, this is James.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we can combine those into a, you know, a hybrid or a single recommendation to say something like, we're, you know, we'd like to call for an issues report to study this problem, determine whether or not a PDP could be used to address, you know, to interdict some of the necessary systems that that are required for this abuse to occur, and, you know, and then as a follow-on sentence, and direct ICANN compliance wherever, whatever scenarios might involve an accredited registrar actually participating in this.
Okay, so would that, would you like that to happen regardless of whether a PDP happens? Or, because I'm wondering, should it be one, can we combine it or should it be two?
This is Mikey. You know, it seems like our intent might, in fact, be better served by having two, so that if one thing gets stalled, the other can still proceed. So I think I'm going to back out of that driveway and stick to two. I like the idea of two things. Especially if we support both recommendations pretty strongly as a working group. I think it carries the same weight. But what it means is that compliance could get out of the blocks quicker on cases where there is already clearly a registrar that's outside the bounds. They wouldn't have to wait until the end of the PDP in order to start initiating compliance stuff.
Okay. So, this is Greg. To summarize, the first recommendation would be coming out of number six, which would be the compliance. We ask the ICANN compliance department what's a recommendation? We need to draft this here. It would be we would ask the GNSO Council to do what? To ask the ICANN compliance department to.
This is Mikey expressing right of authorship. I actually kind of like the way we've got it right now. Just refer it to them for possible enforcement action. And let them bounce off of that. And then if they come back and say, well, we don't have the tools we need in order to enforce, that could feed the PDP. If they feel like they have the tools they need, they could just go ahead and proceed, and we wouldn't have to express in any detail how they do that. They would just do it. So I think recommendation 51 could stand, And so could, I think 48 needs to get reworded because 48 is sort of depending on the ones up above it. But that would be the refer to a PDP one.
Okay. In keeping with our some of our previous language, it would be we would recommend that the GNSO Council commission an issues report.
Yeah.
We can use the language that Marika and others have provided for us, but an issues report on the, and then how should it be worded, on the issue of fake renewal notices?
Yeah, that's a good start. It turns out that all of these recommendations refer up into the body of the document. And if you want, I'd be happy to take a crack at a draft.
Okay. Mikey, we will need that from you today.
Yeah, that's fine. Marika, how fast do the MP3s come out?
Marika, I think it normally comes out later in the day. Glenn, can you confirm whether you'll be able to send out the MP3 later today?
Glenn's multitasking.
I'll check offline with Glenn, but I think normally it's sent out later the same day, and I'll try to see if that can be done for this one as well.
Actually, as I think about it, I don't even need the MP3 for this. I just need to get the document open and pull some language out of it. I can do that. Great.
Okay. So that would get us to our two recommendations on fake renewal notices. Okay. Any last thoughts before we move on from this topic? Okay, hearing none, let's move on then. And thank you, Mikey. You have the action item on that today. Next item is the main kiting. Recommendation was refine the definitions based on the boundary condition. Actually, we had a lot of recommendations on this one. We have five. So again, we may need to be a little more focused here and on our recommendations.
Do you notice this is another one of mine? You see a pattern here? I'm going to learn how to write my subgroup chunks better, that's for sure. Let me take a crack at that one. Compress it down. I think it compresses to one. Really?
Okay. And what do you think that is, Mikey?
You know, I would be, in a way, this summarizes in the following way. Domain kiting is basically a definitional confusion that was I don't think ever actually proven to exist. And so I'd be happy with a no recommendation at this time kind of recommendation. You know, no policy action required. And this list is, again, a bunch of things that I sort of thought up, but, it's pretty much
this is Greg. And to go back to the definitional work, kiting is the issue where you register a domain name, then you delete it in the add grace period, then you pick it up again and again and again so you can get a free domain name for a long time without paying for it.
Right. This is
it's it's theoretically possible, but we don't know if anyone's really doing it or if it's a real issue that needs further work, which is what I said. The other observation I had made was if you're deleting that domain over and over again, one, you can lose it because somebody else can catch it. And then the other issue is we now have the excess deletions policy in place. And if you're doing this on any scale, it would seem to get noticed because the registrar would end up having to pay for all of those registrations at some point. They cross their threshold for excess deletes.
Right. Now, you know, maybe what we do is we sort of take all that, smash it into one summary recommendation at the bottom. This recommendation makes more sense if you've read the background material. But, you know, what we wound up discovering is that this is really a non-event. And, Fred, this is not to be confused with domain tasting in the background document. Domain tasting and domain kiting are different animals. And so maybe the fact that Fred is posting this stuff to the chat means that we do need a recommendation to clarify these definitions.
Well, let's go to James because he raised his hand, and then we'll go to Fred.
Hi, Greg. This is James, and I was just going to point out some of the things Fred was raising in chat, if we could go into those as well. But I think at a minimum, Mikey, we want a recommendation in here just because I believe, if nothing else, this group is making the first effort to formally distinguish the difference between kiting and tasting. And I think that that's something that we don't want to lose.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
So then, and I would be curious as to if Fred can fill us in on the case that he was mentioning.
Yeah, it was Belgian domains, capital domains, and domain Dorman, and it was Verizon, I believe, as well as Microsoft, and I think two other firms actually sued them for the practice of actually switching domain names from one registrar to another. So, I mean, my point is at least we should be accurate. So really there's actually a documented case that actually was won, and I think they actually shut a few of those registrars as a result of that case, and that was what precipitated one, Google stopping to take advertising on the pages, which actually precipitated the decline in kiting as a practice, and then the later action by ICANN, which then pretty much killed the practice, the excess deletion, which Greg, you referred to. So at least we should be accurate. Domain kiting was a practice. It was actually practiced in scale, and we should be accurate if we make recommendations.
I think we have a definitional problem. I think we're using two different definitions. Kiting is registering the same name over and over and over again, adding and deleting it within the add grace period. Tasting is something else. Now, Fred, when you're talking about Verizon, were you talking about the online NIC case?
No, I believe, and Margie may remember, I think she's on the call, but I think it was Belgian domains, capital domains, and domain Dorman was the case, and I believe that the plaintiff was Verizon, but I may be mistaken. And this was a case of them rotating, so it was serial tasting and then transferring to their to sort of domain registrars in the same family of registrars within a 5-day grace period.
Okay, so that sounds to me like tasting, but not kiting.
It was serially tasting and then moving, so they were tasting over and over again, using the same domain names and hopping from registrar to registrar, therefore extending the practice, which the practice of tasting over the 5-day grace period, which I would call kiting, but maybe you guys have a different definition of it.
Fred, do you have a link to that case? Because I'd like to read that. That might actually be the.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and find it. And I know that Margie and I, when I first joined the company, this was a case that was judged, I believe, very early on in my tenure at Mark Monitor.
This is Margie. I can send a link around. As I recall, it had to do with changing registrars, you know, adding, dropping, but it was also related registrars, which made it easier to game it. If you think about if you know you're deleting a name and then you can pick it up immediately because you know you're deleting it. I'll find the information and send it to the list.
Yeah, this is Greg. I think what you're referring to is Belgian domains and domain doorman were commonly controlled. They're owned by the same people. So there were separate accreditations, but for all intents and purposes, all sharing common control, right?
Right.
Yeah. They dropped off the face of the earth after the excess deletions policy came into effect, if not before, I guess.
This is Mikey, though. If, in fact, what kiting is the repeated registration of the same name inside of AdGrace in order to essentially get a domain name for free, and in the case of this one, perhaps evade the trademark holder. But leave that aside for the moment. If what we were concluding in our work in that subgroup was that kiting, serially registering the same name in the AdGrace period, was awfully hard to substantiate. And so if we've got an actual lawsuit that was won that substantiates it, that would be an important addition to our record.
It's interesting. This is Greg. It's interesting. It predates the excess deletions policy, which kind of changed the landscape a bit. That's for me, that's one of the big questions, is whether that policy kind of changed the mechanics of what might be happening out there currently.
But then I think all these recommendations start to work again, because if in fact there was it was actually going on, We don't really have the basis to decide whether it's still going on. We would really need to ask the questions that we've got in this little series of recommendations to confirm it. Because where I was coming from when I wrote all this was that kiting was sort of a confusion that got kind of emblazoned in a web post, I think, by Bob Parsons, and then it kind of got carried on in the community, but then, in fact, really happened much. And we did a little registry work, I think, in your registries, Greg, and couldn't find it. But maybe it is out there. If there's a real live lawsuit that they were proven to do, then I think it's worth at least taking a look at. I'm not sure it's the highest of high priorities for the GNSO policy machine, but I think it's worth a look.
So guys, my point was not necessarily that it's still a problem, but the fact that we should be accurate.
Yeah, and at a minimum, I'll extract something from that link and work it into the body section.
Okay, so back to our recommendations. What should we do?
This is Mikey again. What if we turned all these into one? I think part of the problem is the fact that they're all these separate recommendations. What if I took a try at smashing these into one recommendation with a series of little bullets underneath it, rather than having them all separate? I don't know. Maybe we just vote him up or down.
So what is the recommendation going to be? We have to put something down on paper today of one or more recommendations. What is the recommendation?
One way, maybe the easiest way to approach this is we have pretty wide agreement on these, and we just leave them the way they are. We have 70% agreement on almost all of them. James has got a friendly amendment on.
Okay, should we run through all six?
Yeah.
All right. One, refine the definitions of casein and chitin based on the discussion and defined boundary conditions above. I would suggest that our text, as it will be tweaked today, does a pretty good job of distinguishing between casein and chitin. Do we need this definition? Additional definitional work as a recommendation, and what would the council do with it?
This is Mikey. I think what we were trying to do here with this recommendation was, rather than refine them, just promulgate them. Get them published somewhere. I'm not sure that we need to do a whole lot. I wouldn't send people off to work to do much more refining, because I agree. I think we did a pretty good job in the paper. So what if we just said publish these definitions of tasting and kiting, period.
Mikey, this is Greg. Isn't the definitional work up to us, really?
Yeah, once done, then, you know, the only thing we need to do is get them pushed out into the light of day. That's the intent. Whereas it's written right now, it's saying do further refinement. I don't think we really need much further refinement. I think the definitions are pretty good.
Recommendation two is incorporate these definitions in any review or refinement of excess delete policy and data collection or data reporting efforts.
And that one, I think, stands. That's why we need the first one. We need to publish them first so that then they can be incorporated.
Well, we are publishing the definitions in our paper.
Yeah, and, you know, I won't go to war over this. It just seems like a...
I'm just trying to figure out the utility, Mikey. That's all. So what does recommendation two actually call on the council to do?
I think that what it's saying is if the council takes up excess deletes or any kind of data reporting or anything having to do with tasting or kiting, primarily it'll be tasting because that's the focus of all the policy work, that those efforts just take these two definitions into account and perhaps start to develop some data. So it's sort of a letter forward in time to the people doing that work saying, hey, there's two different things really going on here, people. Make sure that you record that distinction, and if, to the extent that you can collect data about it, please do.
Okay, recommendation three, alert ICANN staff to the possibility of kiting as a possible abuse of the ad-grace period. To me, this one doesn't work because it's already captured and counted in your excess deletions. And kiting is, in general, not a good thing. So there's a policy that already impacts tidy, I guess. I can't remember. I have no idea if when they were discussing the excess deletes policy, if kiting came up. Does anybody know? Nobody knows. For
hey, Greg, this is Faisal. I'm just wondering, I mean, it seems to me that this is kind of a no-brainer just to let him know that we've considered it, and we do want to alert ICANN to the issue of kiting as a possible abuse. I'm not sure it takes away anything from us providing that as a recommendation.
Okay. Are you proposing that as the sole recommendation for related to kiting, or one among several?
Yeah. So I would. I mean, I think if you, I think what I would say is maybe we're seeing that it's not maybe it's not an issue now, but we do alert them to the issue of kiting as a problem and as possible abuse, and that we continue to monitor the situation on an ongoing going forward. And that would be the recommendation, really.
Okay. So, in some ways, that recommendation wouldn't be... It would be similar to what we came up with on front-running.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Okay, so we have a proposal for basically one recommendation... maybe using some of that front-running language, which basically said we want to it's an abuse. We're not sure the extent to which it happens. We want to alert people to the possibility and monitor it. Okay. Let me have a show of hands if that idea for one recommendation is interesting to you. Or not. So if you like the idea of one recommendation along those lines, please indicate with the check. Okay, I see checks from Greg, Barry, Faisal, Fred, James, Martin, and Barry, and Rod. Okay, and then Mikey? All right. So that sounds like the way we would go. I'm happy to volunteer to take the front-running language and adapt it if that makes sense. Okay, any objections? Okay. Okay, great. Any thoughts on the kiting? Final thoughts on the kiting? Okay, if none, we will move on to malicious use of domain names. The recommendation was for best practices. And the language is on screen. There was a high level of agreement with it. There was one friendly recommendation from Rod, which was to drop non-binding, as by definition best practices are non-binding. ICANN should survey registrars and registries regularly to determine types of best practices being used and their adoption rates by the community. Okay. And, Rod, I added non-binding in there because I looked up best practice on Wikipedia, which, of course, is fairly accurate but not always accurate. And it actually said that best practices are sometimes binding and sometimes not, depending on who you're asking. So that's why I put it in. I didn't think it would hurt. Mm-hmm. And then you had a recommendation for ICANN should survey registrars and registries regularly. Would that be part of the process, or does that need to be part of the recommendation? How do you feel?
I guess both, right? And you can't really figure out if people are So I would say it's part of the recommendation, given that you have, if you're going to create a way of sharing and using best practices, you ought to see if it's actually having any effect whatsoever.
Oh, you mean, so that's for after you write the best practices, you then pull to see how they're doing, or do you pull during the creation of the best practices?
Well, I would hope that when you're creating best practices, you're actually asking the people who are practicing how they do it the best. That's a good definition.
Yeah, which I think is a given, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so, and then from there, it's okay, you've got this mechanism for getting the word out. It's like anything else, you want to see how effective that program is. So making sure there's some sort of regular survey or audit or whatever you want to call it to see that people can access it or putting things in place. And I think it's important to see if best practices are being used across the entire spectrum and at what rate, because you may find that, well, it doesn't work for people, so it's not really a best practice, or you may need to refine it or what have you. So unless you're asking people, are you implementing these things, you're not going to get that kind of information to refine things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so proposal is to insert Rod's note about surveying registrars and registries. I'm totally fine with that. Is there any objection? I'm not hearing any. By the way, it was interesting. Rod Beckstrom was speaking in D.C. last week about these kinds of issues, and he said ICANN is going to be supporting the creation of best practices. Not on any particular subject, but he said it was something ICANN wanted to do. So that was interesting.
I thought of it first.
Yeah, we claim credit, dang damn it.
It's the other Rod.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it sounds like we have agreement to add that piece from Rod. And in general, everyone agreed with the recommendation. So I think we're good to go on that one. Any last thoughts?
Just my little bit on binding versus non-binding. If there's a question out there as to what kind, and adding the specificity, however you say it. I'm sorry, it's 1 a.m. for me. Of that is fine. I'm not. It's just a binary thing.
Okay. Thank you. And then, by the way, there is a second recommendation, which is about stolen credentials. But that's been moved into recommendation one. So I think recommendation two goes away. Is that correct? Rod, I think the second recommendation about stolen credentials was your proposal. Is it sufficiently covered now in recommendation one?
I'm looking.
This is Mikey. I think the key thing that may need to get inserted is the liability limitation thing. Certainly the topic is in there.
And see, the text said, is there a potential for liability limitation for registrars versus registrants versus resellers? Could you elaborate on the that piece, what exactly does it mean? I guess that question's directed to Rod.
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to make sure. I'm sorry. Repeat the question again there, Greg.
Yeah, no problem. There was a bit that said, is there a potential for liability limitation for registrants versus registrars versus resellers? And I was asking... What does that mean?
Well, this is in reference to the codifying registrant rights and responsibilities for account access. And this gets to kind of the issues surrounding who's liable for keeping security of access credentials. And it's kind of an open question that right now, currently, we've got Baidu suing Register.com after Baidu.com got hijacked via Register.com's interface, with stolen credentials. That's a multi, I don't know how many millions or billions of dollars that lawsuit's going to be. So it seemed to be a good idea to create some, carve out what are the liabilities, et cetera, who bears them, and make sure that's clear. That's just a practical example. It might already be there as far as the way the contracts are written, the registrant contracts by the registrant agreements from the registrars. But that almost goes to a uniformity of contracts issue, I guess. But there's also this kind of this minimum standard idea of what level do we provide an authentication regime for keeping your access to your management or whatever you have to control your domain name, say. I don't know. Go ahead.
Would that be covered if in recommendation one we say the best practices should cover the effort should consider but not be limited to these subjects. Practices for identifying stolen credentials. Creating anti
service. It's pretty much covered there, right? The second recommendation, these got pulled out of that other document, that other piece of work, so it's kind of, you could pretty much combine them, I would guess, since we're talking about best practices in general. The only, the idea of minimum standards and definition of liability is, you can see that as being somewhat stronger than just best practices, though. I'm not, at this point, I'm not really, it doesn't really matter that much, but it might matter to some, especially if you want to help define, who's responsible for what in situations like I just mentioned.
Well, what we could do is we could add to the list of topics in recommendation number one to add account access security management. Would that cover it? Because then there would be a conversation in that group specifically about best practices for account access. What do you put in your, registrar?
Right. Again, let's predicate the whole idea here. Predicating another a group looking at that. So I would say if you put that in there specifically, then that'll probably cover what we're looking for here.
Okay. So the proposal then is we go with recommendation number one. We insert Rod's text about surveying registrars and registries, and we add. The subject of account access security management. So, is that something we can all go with? not hearing any disagreement. So that would be recommendation number one. Recommendation two is thereby folded in. Okay. And recommendation three too, which is about stolen credentials. That would move us on to who is accessed. There was complete agreement on this one, and no amendments or alternates. So, does anyone else have any notes about the who is access recommendation? Hearing none, I guess we can move on. The second recommendation was for the GNSO to request that the ICANN Compliance Department publish more data about who is accessibility, at least on an annual basis. Data should include A, the number of registrars showing a pattern of restricting access to their Port 43 WHOIS servers, and B, the results of an annual compliance audit of compliance with the contractual WHOIS access obligations. There were two friendly recommendations. One was from James, who said the study must balance accessibility of WHOIS versus reasonable means implemented by registrars to prevent data mining and abuse of WHOIS systems. And then Rod said compliance report should also be on web WHOIS services as well. Rod, I would suggest that yours is covered because the web-based WHOIS is a contractual obligation. Unless you want to say something like compliance with all WHOIS contractual obligations. Should we maybe add the word all, for example?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, James, do you want to speak about your suggestion?
Sure, Greg. This is James speaking. And I'd just like to, I support this recommendation, but I would like to see some consideration given to the idea that who is abused is a problem, and we want to make sure that the methods and mechanisms that registrars have implemented is not swept up by any sort of overgeneralized definition of universal access. And by that I mean, for example, if a web user has to enter a CAPTCHA, for example, for each WHOIS request, or if a port 43 system is throttled so that it only allows a certain IP address to make a limited number of requests per hour or per day. I think that there should be some recognition that there are reasonable restrictions in place to prevent an automated or scripted abuse of WHOIS. And that shouldn't be caught up in any type of a definition of access for ICANN compliance. But we're, as registrars, we're trying to balance a line here. We want to make the information available, and we're contractually obligated to do so, but we don't want to make it a free-for-all for bad guys.
I have a secret to share. This is Greg. Did you know that ICANN limits its WHOIS access on internet.org? Even they do it. I think what our text says, our background section, it says that rate limiting can be a very legitimate thing to do for some of these reasons. It prevents mining of the data, and we have a footnote to an SSAC look at that issue. And, you don't want people overloading or DDoSing your WHOIS servers, basically. To address your concerns, how can how can we change recommendation two? I think in recommendation one, they're probably going to look at that issue. In recommendation two, what should we say maybe to address your concern?
1 second while I scroll back to recommendation one. And by the way, I have another funny story to share where we were accepting a transfer from another registrar. We were blocked. They were blocking Whois requests. In fact, the Whois server didn't resolve at all. I contacted IKN Compliance on that, and they said, well, it's no problem. They are probably just doing that since you're another registrar and they're detecting that that request is coming from GoDaddy, and, you know, it happens all the time, and that was all they were going to do about it. Well, what they weren't aware of is that I was doing it from my home machine because I'm a remote employee. So I think that was a clear case where, no, this was not a reasonable mechanism to prevent abuse. This was a, you know, completely unfamiliar network making a singular request. It was also being blocked. So, I think that what we need here is in recommendation two is really could be done very, very diplomatically by inserting a word where it says the data should include the number of registrars that show a pattern of unreasonable restrictions of access to their port 43 servers. And then, you know, if we want to further define unreasonable to be access that would be used in a normal course of operations or for typical inquiries, but, you know, stopping short of any attempt to gather or mine bulk Whois bulk registration information from the Whois system.
Okay, this is Greg. So it might say a pattern of unreasonable restriction of access to their port 43 servers. And then there's the question of what is unreasonable. Should we just say unreasonable, or do we also need to define unreasonable?
Well, that was my attempt at defining unreasonable. Would be a sentence that said maybe by defining unreasonable, the best way to do that is to flesh out what it means to have reasonable restrictions on Whois access, such as requiring web users to complete a CAPTCHA and rate limiting requests for port 43.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, which I think would be more fully explored coming out of recommendation number one, because then people have to get into the details of what figuring out what people are actually doing in their limitations, but I see the I see the dilemma though.
Hey Greg, this is Faisal. I'm just thinking that putting unreasonable might be sufficient, as opposed to trying to create a whole definition around it. It could get pretty extensive, and I'm not sure that I'm not sure what it accomplishes.
Okay. I'm thinking back also to the material that the compliance department sent to us coming out of our requests. And in general, what they said was when we do see people restricting access, sometimes it's just rate limiting. And they didn't say much more than that. So they said sometimes people are restricting access from certain IPs, and we get complaints about that, and sometimes we go to the registrars and tell them that there's a problem and they resolve it. Sometimes it's misunderstandings or whatever. Although, James, you also offered a counterexample where that, you know, didn't happen. I don't know how to define. I don't know how to define unreasonable right now.
This is James. I agree with Faisal. It's just that adding reasonable to the rate limiting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my assumption is if they write a report, they're always pretty scrupulous about telling people what they actually mean. So if they do find something unreasonable, they'll probably tell us specifically what it was. That data then gets fed into whoever's working, coming out of recommendation number one, and that becomes fodder for further examination and study. So it might not be a bad thing. So our proposal is to modify it so it reads a pattern of unreasonable restriction of access. It sounds like that works for James, it works for Faisal. Any other thoughts? Okay. Let's go with that then, if that's okay. We are now at 11:30, and I suggest that we take a 10-minute break and reconvene at 40 after. So we'll just leave the bridge open, and the next topic will be uniformity of contracts. Okay?
Sounds good.
All righty. I'm going to go on mute for a second, and we'll come back in 10 minutes. Thank you, everyone. So Barry, should we discuss your notes that you sent up to the list on January 26th?
That list is part of what I would like to discuss, but there was also another email that wasn't sent to the list, which was just between Marika and myself, and then you were copied on the response, which those four line items were the bigger things first.
Okay. If you want to discuss the things you sent to Marika, you want to just send that up to the list, that list of things?
Well, I can, yes. Like I mentioned, the four major items I would have updated in the latest document, but with the track changes on there, it really messes things up. I can't tell the formatting looks like and that kind of stuff. So we need to get to a point that we can turn off the track changes once they're accepted, make these big formatting changes of moving these big chunks of data around and these screen captures. And then once we get that written in stone, that'll reset the line numbers. And then, yes, there are more detailed things that I would like, I was hoping to discuss with the group, but we can discuss it offline. And like I said, once we get those the line numbers re-lined up or adjusted, then I'll go back and adjust my comments that were made out on the list, and we can discuss it there and obtain agreement on as to whether those edits should be made or not.
Okay, yeah, I'm not... Why don't we do this? Because we're going to talk about uniformity of contracts next. Why don't we look at the recommendations? And then when we're done looking at the recommendations, why don't you tell us the substantive changes that you want to see? I mean, just moving text from the annex into the body isn't such a substantive change, I guess. You know?
Right, yeah, I can review the four big ones. We'll be able to blow through those one pretty quick. I don't expect any dissent. And then Marika can make those changes, and then when she sends out her updated version, then the more detailed line item changes I have, I'll do on the list.
Okay. Well, let's walk through those if we have a chance. I want to...
Sure.
See if folks have any questions about them. All right.
Okay.
All right. So
about 42 past. Do we have everybody back on the call?
This okay, is Mike. I'm not here yet.
You're not there yet? Okay, Mikey's not here. Neither is Greg.
Michael, yeah.
This is James. I'm getting back to the Adobe, but I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Rod's here. Okay.
Fred's disconnected.
Yes, Fred had to leave. Okay. But Faisal's on.
Yep.
And we have Margie and Marika and Glenn. Okay. Pick up with uniformity of contracts. The recommendation was the RAP recommends the creation of an issues report to evaluate whether a minimum baseline of registration abuse provisions should be created for all in-scope ICANN agreements, and if created, how such language would be structured to address the most common forms of registration abuse. There were some votes in favor. There was a friendly amendment from James, and he said provisions should not be overly prescriptive, but should instead describe required services, facilities, procedures, and contacts. See SAC 38 and SAC 40 papers. And then there was one disagreement, and that was from me. My suggestion was to make no recommendation. My reasoning was as follows. The recommendation is very vague, and we're not stating what problem we're trying to solve. We're just going into another very complex hunt for things to do, I think. My reasoning was that if you want uniformity on a particular topic, if there's a specific problem you want to try to solve, one way to do it is through a consensus policy, which guarantees uniformity amongst all the parties. I think we ought to be addressing specific problems. The recommendation is to go out and look for problems and do something which is very vague. I think you have to understand abuse first, and then you talk about how to address it. I think in a lot of ways the existing contracts are uniform in important ways. For instance, the RAAs are uniform, pretty much. And in some cases, uniformity is not necessarily a goal because some parties need to have different provisions in their contracts. I gave the example of an STLD. So let's open it up for discussion. In this recommendation, we're evaluating whether a minimum baseline of registration abuse provisions would be created. What would such a thing be? That's my question. Is such a thing even possible?
This is Barry. I guess first and foremost is it's not up for us to decide what they should be. I thought our whole recommendation was structured around the fact that if we were to initiate an issues report in PDP, that we wouldn't state what some of the solutions may be. So I don't think here within this pre-PDP we should be answering the question of what that would look like or not. I tried doing that originally with what I termed the APB, the Abuse Provision Baseline, which is one of the things that I would recommend that we strike. But nonetheless, I was under the impression that it wasn't within our charter to define what solutions would necessarily be, and that's why we put the specific language as to evaluate whether a minimum baseline should be implemented or not to begin with. And then if they did come up with it, you know, what would that look like? And that was for the PDP to decide, not us, since we're pre-PDP.
And And some of my concerns do arise actually out of the charter. I mean, we were asked to identify which aspects of abuse need to be looked at. And we were asked to understand if there are registration abuses that are occurring that might be curtailed or better addressed, but if consistent registration abuse policies are established. And I think what we have here is a recommendation to have a uniform policy that doesn't say what it's meant to address. In other words, there's not a problem stated that needs to be solved. I think it's a solution in search of a problem.
So, and this is Barry. So, in general, you're taking a position that you don't think that there is significant enough dispersion across the varying contracts to warrant any kind of issues report or PDP. So, I guess ultimately you're refuting the fact that there is a lack of uniformity out there, correct?
I don't think, yeah, what I'm saying is lack of uniformity is not in and of itself the problem. I think that if you have an abuse, you need to define what that abuse is and then tailor a policy or policies to deal with it. Uniformity for the sake of uniformity is not a goal. I think the goal is to deal with an abuse.
And James made that very clear in our sub-team, and that's why we structured a minimum baseline instead of saying true uniformity across. You know, that's why, you know, there are certain minimums that probably should be out there. Exactly what those minimum requirements are, we didn't answer that. And again, that should be left up to the PDP, but those minimums are things that aren't being held to today. And Mikey has his hand up, so I could probably use some help with it.
I don't know. I think it's been fine, Barry. You know, I think that we're kind of retracing the steps that we took as a subgroup. And where we got to is pretty well laid out in this recommendation that says this, you know, I think there's some things that are implied. One thing that's implied is this is really complicated, and it's going to take some more work than we had the time or the horsepower to do in the subgroup. I think the subgroup was for it, and I don't have the latest version in front of me, so I'm not going to be able to quote from it, but it does a pretty good job of evaluating whether there's uniformity, and the answer is heck no, there sure isn't. And it also points out, and Barry's right, James was the stout advocate of this, that one size does not fit all in terms of this. We certainly don't want to be too prescriptive. But at the same time, there is probably a useful notion that there are some fence posts that we ought to erect in terms of minimum. And at that point we said that's good enough for us. But we didn't do the analysis that you're asking for, Greg, because we didn't have the time or the cycles. And so I think we may just want to leave it the way it is and say, well, we have a bunch of people that think this is a good idea, and one person that doesn't.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're bringing up is stuff that we went over in the group, and for a bunch of us it's kind of foggy as to what we said and how we got there, and I need to dig up the report and so on and so forth. But, you know, your arguments are familiar, but were nicely addressed in the discussion in the subgroup, and we attempted to do the best we could at summarizing that in the background material. And, you know, I think we may just have one where we have an outlier.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. James?
Hi, Greg. This is James speaking. Your concern here, I think, is valid, and it is, and I think, as Barry and Mikey indicated, is something that we went over pretty extensively in the group, and it was fairly close to, if not identical, to the position that I was taking, that we had never really wrestled with the issue of whether or not uniformity in and of itself was a bad thing. If we, however, were going to make a recommendation towards uniformity, I kind of came to this compromise position where the limits on that should be strictly limited to the idea of what could be contained within that uniformity recommendation. And that's where I went back to some of the FSAC papers that said, for example, registrars should have procedures for dealing with abuse. Doesn't say necessarily what those procedures are or prescribe or give them a recipe on how they should address different types of abuse. It just says essentially that registrars should be aware that abuse occurs and should have a means of dealing with it. And that was about as far as I was comfortable going in this recommendation. But I think that, you know, we're tracing into an area here, and I think that this also could be said of some of the working groups I'm on, like as post-expiry, where we're stepping outside of an area where we have uniformity across the board and into an area where ICANN and the community have determined that there are benefits to having competitive, market-driven entities fulfilling this section of the service to the community. And when you do that, you're going to have folks that are going to provide differing levels of service, differing levels of different business models and different approaches to dealing with abuse. And I think that we need to understand that that's part of the nature of the beast that we've created here, and that this going too far, overly prescriptive with abuse, is really turning ICANN into almost a consumer protection agency, which I think that is fundamentally a direction that I, at least, don't want to see it go. So I think that this is a really big issue, maybe perhaps more than it seems on the surface. As far as this recommendation for the purposes of our paper, the only recommendation that I was comfortable supporting was the idea that it should, you know, go no further than stating what that registries and registrars should be aware that abuse is occurring and should have procedures to address it, but not necessarily write the script for them as far as what they should be doing about it.
Mm-hmm. This is Greg. I have a question. Use the example of registrars should deal with abuse or abuses. Right now, their contracts with ICANN and their contracts with all registrants require them to deal with the abuses that have been defined. For example, they have to do WHOIS reminders. They are required to suspend or delete domain names when WHOIS complaints have not been addressed by registrants. They are required to, you know, adhere to the transfer dispute policies and so forth. So right now, for me, it's an operational issue. I mean, they are required to deal with and have language that deals with all of the abuses that ICANN has defined to date. And they also are required to have general language that says registrants and registrars will heed ICANN policies, and that includes any new ones that are created. So for me, it's already covered. I'm saying if you have an abuse you want to deal with, then let's specifically address that one. As we have in some of our other recommendations, we're saying that there are some things that need, you know, issues reports on and PDPs. So it seems like a very vague thing. I don't know what it is. I just don't know. I don't know where it goes or what purpose it serves. So I've said my thing. Mikey, I still see your hand up.
Yeah, I put it back up. This is where I get to the point where I think we just we have a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the two sides have been pretty well carved out, and we just need to align and get on with it.
That's fine. James has also raised his hand again. Thank you, Mikey.
Yeah, and I want to say this as gently as possible so as not to seem as a betrayal to my fellow team members on the working group, Mikey and Barry, but I was really hoping that we could come up with a consensus language that we could universally support here, and if we can't, please don't be offended if I sign on with Greg's position. Just because I think that it would be important for contracted parties to take a consistent approach here. But, I think I tried to put forth something that I think that we could, achieve a consensus around. But if we end up breaking into two camps, then I'm gonna be the collaborator that switches sides on that.
Duly noted, and I'm only 3 hours away. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. If I have to do some damage control with beers in the lounge at Nairobi, then so be it. But I think that if we do have, I was hoping for one singular position, limited but universally supported. If it breaks into two statements or two positions, then I'll probably go over to Greg's camp.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. I mean, basically, it's the consumer side versus the provider side, and I get that.
I wouldn't characterize it that way, Mikey.
Well, I think James said it just a minute ago. He's uncomfortable with the notion that I can become a consumer protection organization, and as a consumer, I'm real comfortable with that idea.
And my point of view has nothing to do with consumers at all. It's more about process. And I think the recommendation doesn't set out a problem that you're trying to solve. I'm all for solving problems, but I'm not in favor of an undefined problem and an undefined process for solving an undefined goal. That's all.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit on that. I mean, the sub-team wasn't given the job that you're asking us to do now.
Exactly.
The sub-team was given the job of go out and determine whether or not there's uniformity, and if there isn't, determine what we ought to do. It wasn't to elucidate all the possible things that could be fixed, nor was it to write the contracts, nor was it to write the minimums, nor was it to state the problem. It was simply to determine whether there was uniformity, and if not, whether we thought that for further study. And we went out and found out that there's huge dispersion in the contracts, and that, yeah, this would warrant further study, and that this is the recommendation that fell out of that. So it's okay with me to let it bifurcate, but it is a consumer provider thing the way it's falling out, and as a consumer, this dispersion is a big problem.
But and Mikey, just to chime in on that, I'm not real comfortable with the characterization that it's a consumer versus provider issue, and I apologize if that came across in my last statement. But I think that, that in order to ensure that we have a healthy, diverse, and vibrant area of the community where the players are expected to compete against one another, I think that ICANN should resist any sort of squelching effects in that area. And any registrar that feels that they are working against the interests of their consumers probably won't be in business for very long, so I just wanted to put that out there as well.
Well, yeah, and this is Mikey again, and that's part of the reason that we put the minimums language in instead of prescriptive. And we, I thought that was a fine approach. But if we're going to attempt to bail on this whole recommendation, then I'm stoutly on the side of keeping it in, because it's clearly something that bears a lot of looking at. And it seems like there are reasonable approaches to getting this problem addressed without putting any fences around a registrar or a registry in the process.
This is Greg. I see that Rod has raised his hand.
Thanks, Greg. Two things. One, I want to mention it's 2 a.m. for me, so I'm not going to be able to hang out here much longer. The other is I think that on this issue, there are, when it comes to handling abuse, and just to respond a little bit to James here, the issue isn't for the customer, the particular registrar, it's for everybody else in the area being affected by that registrar, and how you handle abuse and having some minimum standards. I think that's, there's plenty of bad registrar experience in the past where their clients were perfectly happy with the fact that they were registering their domains and keeping them up, but with everybody else that had a problem with it. But I think that we've pretty much beaten this issue to death both in the past and tonight, so, or this morning for you guys. So I would say we might want to move on.
Okay. I'm happy to second that. So if no further discussion.
Greg, one last thing then. If we're going to bifurcate, which it sounds like we are, then when Barry proposes changes to the language, I'd like to let those changes get put back in, because I think what was going on in the editing of the background section was an attempt to arrive at a consensus position, which now that we're not going to have a consensus position, I'd like to strengthen. So that's just another 2 cents on that one.
Okay. Well, we should ask Barry to run down quickly his list of things he wanted to see done in that section.
Okay, this is Barry. I'll start off with the heavy hitters, the really big stuff. The first one is, as the current document stands today, there's an Annex 3 at the end of the document that has supporting information relative to the research that we did on dispersion. I'd like to move that up into the background section of uniformity of contracts, primarily for the reason of aligning to the rest of the sections. There are no other appendices for any of the other topics, and on several of them, there's multiple pages of background sections, so just for consistency's sake, I'd like to move that into the uniformity background section. Agreed?
Okay, by me.
Okay, the next topic is within the uniformity of contracts background section, and Marika will be able to do this. The subheading titling needs to be aligned so that it's 8.2.1, 8.2.2, et cetera, so that it aligns with other sections in the paper. I think everybody will agree to that one. The third main change is within that supporting material for uniformity of contracts. There's a series of 2 screenshots to show the dispersion One of those screenshots is missing, so I'd ask that we add that first one back into the master document.
Which one is missing, Barry?
Well, it's the one that zooms out. It's a 10% view of the spreadsheet, and it's meant to show where there was a tag where we identified language and then where there wasn't a tag where there wasn't language, and it shows how that language from the contract was pasted into the spreadsheet next to that flag. So, again, there were just two main screenshots, and the idea there is to support the summary version of the dispersion.
Okay. Marika, are you familiar with the piece that Barry is referring to?
This is Marika. No. So it would be helpful if Barry can send me what needs to be included. That would really help facilitate my task.
Okay. Both screenshots were included in the last uniformity of contracts document. And just somehow that top one lost. So it's not, I'm not submitting new material or anything. It's just a screenshot of what was there before.
And you said this was a 10% view?
Yes.
It may have been. Marika, if it's a very large chart, that may present some problems.
It's no different than what's already been in there, Greg. Meant to show the dispersion at a very high level, and to help the reader understand that there was text pulled from contracts relative to that abuse type.
Okay. Can you do Marika a favor? Can you mail her just the screenshot that you want included? So that'll be very clear which one it is.
Correct. I will.
All right. Mail that up to not only Marika but also the list.
Okay.
So got it there in the archives. Okay. So that covers that.
And then the last major change was that I recommend that we remove any notation of APB. Which was standing for abuse provision baseline, and furthermore, the last section of that Appendix 3 included an APB example. And I'm doing this for you, Greg. You had noted that those provisions that were brought out by PIR and affiliates, they deal with use. So in addition to the fact that we agreed that we are not, because this is a pre-PDP and we can't taint any future PDP, I recommend that we just strike APB altogether from the document.
Okay. In the version of 27 January, there's a section called Abuse Provision Baseline, APB. It's section 8.4.2.
So that section, that title would change because it's not, no. Again, we're trying to strike the notion of APB, but what I'm more focusing on is at the very end of the document, I included an example because originally that was my intent to satisfy James's comment earlier that we would hope to come up with what some kind of minimum baseline would look like. Since we're not doing that minimum baseline at all, I strike that the, or I recommend that the example just be removed altogether.
Okay, so you want to remove that, and what does the example consist of again?
It's provisions that were copied from the affiliates and PIR contracts that enable them to go out and fight use abuse, which you claimed was strictly only use abuse and had nothing to do with registration abuse, and you didn't like it altogether. I mean, Greg, ultimately, I really wish that you were a part of the sub-team because I think we would be a lot further along than we are now.
Well, I did have some – I mean, thank you for that. Did have some limitations on my time. Can you mail us – specifically the material that you would like to see removed and any edits necessary around the APB material you just described. And this is to help Marika and I know exactly what needs to change.
Understood.
Okay. If you can do that today, then we'll be producing a new version of the document.
Okay. So, again, I need for Marika to make these other major changes and move this stuff around so that I can make sure that the line numbers are signed up appropriately for some of these other smaller changes.
Or what you can do is you can copy the text as it currently exists, and then you can say, please change it to the following. That will allow Marika to locate it without referring to line numbers, because those will be in flux, I guess.
Okay. And then the other edits, again, I'll just put in the paper for everybody to review. But as Mikey touched on, since we seem to be having two camps established here, there were a couple of suggestions that I have relative to the language that you added into the background section, Greg, that either warrants it a separate section because it doesn't touch on the topic for that subsection of the paper, and or what I have trouble with is it basically kills the recommendation before the reader even reads the recommendation. So that seems to be counter to what other sections of the paper have about dissents. And if the intent of the background section is to put both for and opposition material in there, then I'm fine with that, but you know, it needs to align with the other sections as well. But your language additions in there specifically call out and say we shouldn't do this recommendation before the reader even gets to the recommendation, so somehow we need to structure that better.
Yeah, the background sections are meant to delineate all the discussions and opinions that have been stated. The additions I made were after everything else that you'd put in. So you'd put some stuff in, and then there were a few things that I wanted to note as well. So that is consistent, I think, with other sections. It's a summary of discussions and viewpoints. Then comes a separate recommendation section, and then we're going to have, again, some reiteration, I guess, of those ideas or feelings, but I think it's consistent. And with the other background sections and with the purpose of the background sections. So, okay. So, Barry, did you have any other changes?
That's it for now.
Okay, great. All right. So, if no other thoughts on contracts, I think Martin's having to log off. We go on to meta issues. We have a first recommendation about uniformity of reporting. It reads, the RAP suggests that this meta issue be addressed either by a PDP working group, a best practices working group, or an ICANN advisory group with the goals of providing just-in-time education and knowledge to people wanting to report problems, making it easier to submit a valid complaint, reduce the number of erroneous complaints, improving understanding and the limits of ICANN policies and other options to pursue if the issue is not covered by policy, improving the effectiveness of policy compliance activities, improving the data available for GNSO working group and ICANN advisory group policymaking, improving the data available for compliance activities, answering the question which comes first, policy process or definitive data describing the problem, along with suggestions as to how data can be gathered when it hasn't yet been included in the reporting process. We had three agreements, and then we had four making friendly amendments. Mine was, I think we're talking about working methods here, which need to be incorporated into how the GNSO works, so I suggest dropping recommendation for PDP or working or advisory group, phrase it as an issue the council needs to consider, and let them decide how to pursue it. James said, what is required is a top-to-bottom review of ICANN's data collection, data analysis, and reporting capabilities. Fred said, maybe to J general to incorporate, and Faisal said seems to be general and might be difficult to implement. So it seems like there's agreement that I think there's several that, actually, I think there's several issues wrapped up in here. And Mikey, jump in at any time. One is the question of existing reporting mechanisms that ICANN has. Another was, if you have a policy, how do you measure its effectiveness or provide a reporting channel for compliance? Another one was the question of what comes first. Do you try to gather data and then make policy, or do you determine that you might need a policy and then go out and seek data? So I see James's hand.
Hi, Greg. Thanks. This is James, and would welcome some support from Margie and Marika as well. But I've been participating in the some of the GNSO improvement groups, the PPSC PDP reform group, and this is an issue that I think there's a lot of overlap with something that we are working on in that group as well, which is this idea that in order to ensure that ICANN is focusing on fact-based policymaking, you know, we need to quantify the problems that we're attempting to address, and we need to propose performance metrics and review cycles to ensure that the policy can be reassessed from time to time to ensure that it is accomplishing its stated goals and, you know, not generating any unintended consequences. So I'm not sure that we need to be too, you know, overly in-depth on this particular recommendation. If we can somehow, you know, give a nod to that work that's going on elsewhere in the GNSO and possibly recommend how that work could be applicable to dealing with abuse issues, I think that should be sufficient for a recommendation at this point. Because I think that what we're seeing, in whether it's post-expiry, whether it's IRTP groups, is we're seeing that there's a woeful lack of capability on ICANN's part to collect and synthesize and report the type of data that's required to really generate a quantitative policy response to some of these problems. And in some cases, and I'm going to editorialize here a little bit, the post-expiry, we're finding that, you know, it's very difficult to even demonstrate that the harm is occurring on any kind of a widespread level. So so perhaps the best approach for this recommendation is to acknowledge that that work is happening in another area of the you know, of the GNSO improvements, and just make a an acknowledgement that that could be applicable to abuse, and essentially punt this issue over to the group that's already down the road on that.
Okay.
And I would welcome if I, Margie or Marika, if I've mischaracterized that section of what we're doing in PPSC, please please jump in.
James, it's Margie. No, I think you're right. That's one of the areas that we are looking at in the PDP group to figure out how to come up with fact-based analysis and improving the PDP structures and processes.
Okay. Any other comments from the group?
This
Mikey?
Is Mike. I'm fine acknowledging that that might be a destination, but I don't want to drop this recommendation altogether. Is that what you're suggesting, James, is that we just drop the issue altogether?
No, not drop it, but make it, but acknowledge that you know, this came up during the course of the RAP, that we recognize or acknowledge that it's being addressed in this other group, and that we would maybe recommend to that group that they consider its applicability in addressing or developing future abuse-related policies. And really just kind of less a recommendation for council to take up the baton on this one and more of a recommendation and an acknowledgement that the work is already ongoing in another area of the GNSO. Now, the only catch to that, and I'm going to go ahead and argue against myself here, as I'm prone to do, the only catch to that would be is if there is something that that group is, to my understanding, GNSO specific. So if there's something that we feel warrants some inclusion or work by areas outside of the GNSO with like the ALAC or CCNSO or something like that, then maybe that group needs to there needs to be an add-on in this group. But I think that from my participation in both these groups, I think that the overlap is almost total.
This is Mikey. You know, that's the reason that we punted these things up to sort of a meta-issue category, is that there's a lot of overlap, not just between us and the PPSC thing, but also PEDNR and also outside of GNSO. And I, at least in my mind, when we were coming up with these meta-issues, it was more to highlight the issue and the agreement that, yea, verily, this is important work. We don't have any specific recommendations for RAP-related stuff, but we do want to support ongoing attention across the organization. You know, it's kind of like the little memo that we wrote in IRTPB. And I just think that it's useful to keep the attention on the issue and express support for the people who are trying to resolve it from as many fora as possible. So.
Yeah, and Mikey, and this is James speaking. I just wanted to point out that the PPSC is reforming the entire process, so. It recognizes that this is an overarching issue in all of the various PVPs that are ongoing and future PVPs that might come up. So it's I think, a more appropriate, procedural change as opposed to, something that needs to be fixed on a as-needed basis in all the individual PVPs.
Yeah, I don't think we're disagreeing there. I guess where I'm at is sort of back to the recommendation. Are you?
Yeah. My question is: Are you really thinking that it would be referred to the PPSC?
I think that it would be an acknowledgement that this. Was identified in the course of the RAP that this problem was encountered and identified, that we are aware that it is a component of the work that's being done in the PPSC, and would ask that the PPSC and the overall GNSO improvement area take a look at this issue and how it can apply to their reform work in the PVP process. So it's kind of a me too, it's kind of saying we found this problem, we know it's a problem, we know it's going on everywhere, we know that the PPSC, PDP group has identified it and they're working on it as well. We'd just like to support their work in that this needs to be fixed.
How does that sound to you, Mikey?
I think I'm okay, except that the when James was arguing against himself, I did like that part a lot.
I need to learn to stop doing that.
you know, I think that one of the issues here is that it's not just within GNSO. And so with that little caveat, I mean, part of the trouble of reading these recommendations without having the background is that in the preamble, in the background, we rattle off a list of a bunch of PDPs that are encountering this problem, IRCPB, PEDNR, et cetera. And so maybe what we do is we acknowledge, we add this one to that list of acknowledgments and highlight the fact that that particular working group.
Mikey, can you repeat again? You broke up.
Dang nabbit. Stupid phones. In the beginning of the background section of this, we had a little list of the PDPs that this affects, PEDNR, IRCPB, us. Would it make sense to just add the reform working group to that and highlight the fact that they're perhaps going to actually write policy about this?
Well, that's not really a PDP, though. My issue with that.
I mean, that's why it's written the way it is to sort of step beside the boundaries of the PDP process. So then I'm back to, well, what are we saying? What are we doing to change this recommendation? Anything?
Well, we. I guess our goals are as follows. We want to highlight this issue in a special way to the GNSO Council. The PPSC is an area of particular interest and focus on this kind of a thing. My personal observation is we do have a mandate to focus on GNSO type stuff. The larger ICANN environment is a little harder to try to address, I think.
But the trick here, and that's why it's in meta issues, is that exact problem. I mean, you've all been berated at by consultants about silos. This is trying to point out that this spans outside of our own little GNSO silo. That's part of the reason why it's in meta issues, I think. Meta issues gives us all sorts of freedoms that we don't have in the rest of our document, it seems to me.
Okay, so what's, can we agree on some goals? It sounds like what we need to do is generate a new version of the recommendation today that is more specific and gets addresses the friendly amendments that have been made. In general, people are in favor of some ideas around this meta issue, but we have to figure out how to get the a higher level of consensus here. Mikey and James, would you be willing to create new language today? I don't think we're going to be able to do it on this call.
Yeah, James, why don't you and I just hang on, or we'll just call each other afterwards. Is that a good...
Yeah, it might have to be this afternoon, though, Mikey, just looking at my calendar. But yes, I agree.
Yeah, well, my problem is that in the middle of the afternoon, I turn into a pumpkin. I get on the road, so I've got it kind of limited to early afternoon.
Okay. Can you guys post something to the list today? It could be later today, of course, but we need something today that addresses those friendly amendments.
Yeah.
And that recommendation, I'll just observe personally, it's awfully long and a little mushy.
Well, the problem is that it's got a whole bunch of bullets that are all smashed into the text. I'd be perfectly happy to leave the bullets out.
Okay. Yes. Well, you guys work on the specifics, but I think our goal is we want to highlight this as an issue. PPSC is an important avenue, perhaps, that needs to be mentioned specifically. And just maybe some fat cutting that, and again, the people who made friendly amendments said it needs to be a little more specific and a little less general.
Yeah. Well, I think if you read the recommendation and stop in the middle of the second line, uniformity of reporting. The RAPGWG suggests that this meta issue be addressed either by a PDP working group, a best practices working group, or an ICANN advisory group. Period. That's the recommendation. The rest is basically a list of goals that don't really need to be in a recommendation like this.
Okay, and do you want to mention specifically the PPSC? I mean, I don't know, frankly, if I support a PDP on this issue.
Well, that's why there's all those ORs in there.
Yeah, I mean,
we talk about that in the body of the background. We say, you know, a PDP.
Yeah, my comment was that we're talking about working methods here.
Right.
In a lot of ways. Okay, all right. I think we have a course of action. And we move on to recommendation 2, which is about collection and dissemination of best practices. And that one reads as follows. The working group suggests that this meta issue be addressed either by a PDP working group or an ICANN advisory group with the goals of creating mechanisms within the ICANN community to support the creation and maintenance of best practices efforts in a structured way. Creating multiple channels, some private or secure, for dissemination best practices to all relevant community members, incorporating the gathering and recommendation of best practices into the processes used by various policy and advisory working groups, instituting practices to measure and incentivize adoption of best practices across the industry, launching regular review processes where universal best practices may be incorporated into more formal policies. We had 3 agreements, 4 suggestions, 4 friendly amendments. Those were as follows. I said this might be fodder for PPSC. I think we're talking about working methods. So I suggest dropping recommendations for PDP or working group or advisory group. Phrase it as an issue the council needs to consider and let them decide how. James said ICANN can be a facilitator best practice exchange, but it would be seen as a peer organization with other groups, such as APWG and RISG. Fred said, I believe this is maybe too general, and Faisal said, appears to be general and hard to implement. So some of the same comments as the other reporting issue.
This is Mikey. To kind of cut to the chase on this, you know, Rod and I sort of copied off of each other's notebooks on these things. And here's my suggestion. Why don't we, in both of these, take all those goals and put them back up in the background section as material for the framers of whatever the initiative is to go look at, and do the same thing. Just chop it off at the middle of the second line that says, we recommend that somebody go take a look at this and be done with it.
And Mikey, this is Greg. One of the sentences I think is most valuable to get in front of the council is creating mechanisms within the community to support the creation and maintenance of best practices efforts in a structured way. Because that says very clearly, this is something that ICANN should be spending time and money on, basically. There needs to be a structure for doing it and maintaining them ongoing, which is, I think, something that everybody was excited about, and there was a high level of agreement about that. That sentence, I think, is the core piece. That's my 2 cents.
And this is Rod. I mean, everything else from that is just part of what that, you know, sub-definition of what that means. So, you know, to cut to the chase, as they say, is, you know, get that first part in. Whether it's a PDP, you know, I don't think it's a PDP either, but this goes beyond GNSO anyways. And as you mentioned a couple hours ago, Beckstrom has already talked about doing exactly this kind of work. So, say this is an ICANN initiative and be done with it.
Okay, thank you. Who wants to make an attempt at touching this one up today? I'm happy to help. Rod, are you interested in it?
Do we need to? No, I'm a zombie already.
Sorry.
But I think we can come to consensus right now. I think. I mean, where are we? If you just cut it, you know, if you make the recommendation end it after structured way, and and let's say be addressed within the ICANN community instead of specifying it, and there we go.
May I make a suggestion, which would be within the GNSO and the larger ICANN community? Because
Sure.
we want the GNSO to really pay attention to this and take some ownership of it, at least for themselves.
That works for me.
Okay, any...
I'm back. Sorry.
Hi, Mikey. What we just discussed was really concentrating on, and Rod just spoke about this, but concentrating on that sense about creating mechanisms in a structured way, and we want to address it, the recommendation to the GNSO, so GNSO has some ownership, at least for its own work, but also within the larger ICANN community to emphasize the fact that this is something that is going to be potentially useful and recommended across the spectrum. But we want to mention GNSO specifically. So any other comments on the recommendation?
This is Mikey. Would those changes apply to the one we just talked about, too? Should we parallel them?
Well, this was for recommendation number two.
Yeah, I know.
Best practices.
Right. I'm just wondering if you took those changes and mapped them back into recommendation number one, would those make sense?
Ah, okay. I see.
Because these are pretty parallel recommendations.
What I could do is let me send up some new recommendations text for number two to the list. And then maybe as you and James are looking at number one,
yeah,
you could consider if there's anything that could be reused.
Right. Well, I'm
okay.
Just wondering, and conversely, is the notion that the PPSC working group ought to take a look at this, should we carry that idea down into this one? Since again, it's
mm-hmm.
a similar kind of deal.
By the way, how close is the PPSC to finishing its work?
We're on stage 5 of 5, I believe. I would throw ask Marika what that means in terms of days or weeks, but
This is Marika. After the PDP work team finishes its work, it will still need to go to the PPSC for consideration. And it's still a question whether they're just going to look at the recommendations and go with it, or whether they'll want to go more deep into some of the elements. And after the PPSC has done its job, it needs to move up to the council for a similar kind of discussion and consideration. So, and then after that, it will need to go to the board, because as their bylaw changes involve, it will require board approval as well. So, overall, the whole process will require still quite some time to go through the different stages, including as well, different public comment periods, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. I was asking, Mikey, just because I didn't want to miss the boat if they were already.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm.
Far away.
Whether the train has already left. The Do you folks who are on the PPSC working group think that there's time to add a couple more major topics into that, or are we referring this to a train that's already left the station?
You know, Mikey, this is James, and I would say that if it's overlapping with something that's already on the PPSC agenda, then we should, you know, be aware of that. If it's talking about a brand new item that needs to be added, I think it may be a little too late for that. Just my opinion, though.
Well, if we're making a recommendation specifically to the GNSO, council can always decide how to best take it up. If they want to put it into PPSC, they could. Or they could do something else. I guess what our goal, though, is that they address it somehow. We might have to leave it up to them.
Yeah, this is Mikey. That's sort of my reaction. And so maybe we just treat both of these the same way and say, dear GNSO, here are some things that we would really like you to take up, but we leave it up to you as to how.
Okay. Okay, let's go with that unless anyone has any objections.
And
okay.
Now, that would work for number one, too. James, I'm trying to get us out of that work. You see, I'm be a weasel here and get out of some work. Is that okay with you if we did it that way?
I'm not clear what that leaves us left in terms of a recommendation.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking is we parallel these two recommendations. We make them read pretty much the same. We found these two tasty issues. We want to bring them to the GNSO's attention and hope that the GNSO will address them somehow. PDP working group or whatever, you know, not. You know, advisory group. That's the problem with these things. Is, you know, we can't specify. We don't have an existing mechanism for them. So let's punt the ball to the GNSO and let them figure it out.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, that brings us to the end of the list then. We have a few deliverables that need to be done today. So, Marika can start on the polling and wrap up all of those edits to the background sections. We're still planning on having polling opening tomorrow after this last language is worked out. So I encourage everybody to work very hard on that stuff today so we can offer several days of polling later this week. A lot of us won't be in Nairobi, but it looks like we're going to also be able to finish up and have a final document by Brussels, and I want to offer at this point the idea of having a happy hour for everybody at Brussels. Drinks are on me.
Oh, I hate that idea.
Terrible.
I want to acknowledge that, you know, it was great getting through this material today. Thanks for sticking with it, and very, very soon this initial report is going to be done. So just a few little things to take care of, and we will be meeting our goal. So let's just do that exchange of those points on the list today. Everything should go to the list, not to individuals such as Marika and myself, but to the list as a whole so everybody can see what we've got. And then we will touch base. Our goal for the next meeting a week from today is to look at the results of the polling and the consensus levels, and then hopefully we are done with the report. So thanks everybody.
Hey Greg, this is Faisal. Just real quick,
yeah, go ahead.
On the material predicate issue that you had brought up. I don't know if we finished that, but I think that I think what we had what I talked to Fred about was maybe perhaps keeping in to the putting into the background the initial two sentences that you you had in your description, but keeping out any examples, because I think when you start getting into examples is when it things start getting to get a little muddier and complicated. So just kind of put the two sentences in, put that into the background, and I think that that would be appropriate.
Right, I've got those two sentences from you. Okay.
I think you got it from Fred, right? I think Fred put that.
Yeah, I copied them off the chat.
Okay, cool. All right.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, everybody, and have a good evening, and we will talk a week from today.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.